Whoa!
Coming to Amateur Hour, folks. You've got Ryan Scott Hall and his Dirkness.
What's up?
And Gary Glitter.
Welcome, hey, Gary.
On Amateur Hour anytime. Anytime. Well, folks, before we talk about Dallas Mavericks basketball.
Woo!
And
feel the burn.
I don't know what else we're going to talk about tonight. We do want to give a quick shout out to Joel Thorman and Arrowhead Pride for always being such a gracious host since we are homeless.
And we hope so. He hadn't emailed me back yet, but
oh, okay.
Let's just assume so.
Yeah, Joel likes what we did.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. You shouldn't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. Also, obviously, big thanks to KC Sports Leagues. You know, they do some great stuff over there with the intramural sports.
Our chief sponsor.
Yeah. They actually want to support what we do here at the Amateur Hour program. And yeah, we want to support what they do with their outdoor activities for adults.
Yeah.
I've
been keeping busy with it.
Yeah.
Reffing kickball.
Oh, the heavily encouraged drinking kickball league.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some teams play beer in hand. Makes it a little more difficult. Some of the better teams do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great time. Thursday nights out at Rosedale.
Oh, yeah. And that's because before, when back in my kickball reffing days, we didn't get to do it at Rosedale.
Before you got lifetime banned.
We had to go, you're such a liar. I had to go so much further away, but now that it's at Rosedale, it's like I could just like walk there.
Yeah.
Ride my bike down.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Also, yeah. Flag football going on. Commissioning my ass off.
How's a better job
than old Raj.
Old Raj. Right on.
But yeah, it's going great. Going great.
That's
cool. Few weeks in, leagues will kick off again, and you know, I don't know, 6 weeks or so from now, a whole new wave of leagues.
I mean, it's definitely that time of year. It's going to start to be consistently nice outside, get past the rain.
Yeah.
So I would encourage everyone to go over to kcsportsleagues.com and check out when the new seasons are going to start. Try to get some buddies together. If you have more than, you know, one or two friends to rub together, you guys can make a team.
Yeah.
And get out there and compete. Play some football.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. But thanks to, obviously, both Arrowhead Pride and KC Sports Leagues for letting his Dirkness and myself do what we do, which is talk Chiefs.
Which is nothing for the past 4 months.
Yeah, that too. That too.
I'm glad people allowed me to do nothing for the last 4 months. It was not too shabby.
There are still a few people out there just hanging on, waiting for that Whitlock-style grade show.
Ah, shit.
Sorry.
We blew that one.
I'm sure.
Did we even do a show after the Patriots game, or did we just go dark?
I mean, I think we probably just went dark, and that's and that's not from like this horrible loss or anything.
No.
I mean, I think it's just man. I mean, at least for me,
fatigue.
When the Chiefs aren't on, I know that this is kind of rare thing, but like, I'm a Chiefs fan so much more than I'm a football fan that, like, I just didn't care. When the Chiefs are out of it, like, the result doesn't matter. And so I just didn't really want to talk. I just didn't want to. I had a hard time trying to sit down and do the grading. And, I mean, they had such a good year, though. No complaints about the Chiefs' 2015 season.
No.
I don't think I can really be angry about much of anything.
Not at this point, no. I mean, I was at the time, but
yeah, and I mean, I think though that really what it ended up coming down to, and it feels like this has been a bit of a theme lately. Man, we just can't seem to be healthy. We just can't, especially at the right time, you know. And I'm sure that every team deals with that. You know, that's why I think that some people maybe don't give it as much appreciation or context as they should, but like when Aaron Rodgers won his Super Bowl, and I know you hate Aaron Rodgers, but
yeah.
I mean, when they won their Super Bowl, they had like 15 guys on injured reserve or something.
Yeah.
And some of those were like very key players. Frank Zombo started in that Super Bowl, you know? I mean, we're talking about like basically what he would have had to do for us because of what we were dealing with Justin Houston. And we're complaining about, man, we didn't get to watch Justin Houston. Well, I mean, that's what good teams do, is get over those injuries and still be able to overcome them.
Yeah, but it is kind of two playoff trips in a row that have ended very, very injurelessly.
Yeah.
Injurelessly.
And it sucks. It sucks. It and I mean, but that's kind of what this offseason is about. I think that's really what Andy Reid and John Dorsey have been trying to do. That's not to say that they're the only ones that are doing it. Obviously, there are a lot of people in the scouting department and stuff that are working their tails off trying to put things together. I think, though, that obviously if you look at the team that they took over versus the team that they are now, I think you've seen some really tremendous changes. There's been a lot of talk about the depth that they've been able to put together on the team. And I think that some of that, the football speak, you know, number 53 is just as important as, you know, number 13 or whatever, as far as like the guy on your roster. Like they want
that Justin Marsh.
I don't know if he's a 53 guy. Is DeAnthony Thomas? But I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think that you hear. You know, people want to just say that every single guy on the roster is important. And of course it is. You want to see every guy be able to go out and contribute. But I think really what we've seen from the Chiefs is that they don't just go one deep, you know, at every position. They seem to really have some backups that can come in and play integral roles for them. And even if a guy goes for an extended period of time, they've been able to weather the storm. I mean, they showed it this year.
That's probably the greatest strength of John Dorsey's tenure is his ability to fill out the bottom half of the roster.
Oh, yeah.
Let's ask the pressing question that everyone's been asking. What was the Chiefs' offseason? Was it good or bad? Was it good or bad?
Well, I mean, it's hard to just give that a solid answer. I mean, I think that if I had to give them a letter grade, and I feel like this is even cheating because it's like a 50-50, but I just want to give them like a C+, you know? Like
there's two different ways to look at it. You're either evaluating the Chiefs or you're looking at the Chiefs offseason. Those are two different things. And let me tell you the difference. If you're evaluating the Chiefs' offseason, you have to factor in the Justin Houston injury news. You have to factor in Hussein Abdullah retiring, Mike DeVito retiring. Things that are kind of beyond the control of the Chiefs. Or you can evaluate the Chiefs' front office and how they handled the offseason.
Well, they also ended up that the tampering thing is...
Tampering, I mean, yes. Of course.
You know, it's stupid, but I mean with
the... Stupid.
With the ruling coming down that basically... You know, and I loved Clark Hunt's comment. While we recognize the very minor reduction in the fines,
thanks.
I'm like, thanks, Clark. That's good. I mean, but you know, with Goodell basically upholding his own ruling, big surprise there. You know, you're looking at losing like the 77th pick or something, or what would have been. So that. That hurts, but again, you know, if anybody is outraged in any way over thinking that John Dorsey or Andy Reid or whoever, like, you guys, you should know better, like, that's just...
I don't think I've heard a single person say that.
I don't know.
Like,
oh,
like
I guarantee that, like, the 610 text line in some way, shape, or form has probably put that out there. Oh, yeah. I guarantee it's on Twitter somewhere.
I know, yeah, but I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a single person, like, blame the Chiefs, really. All I've seen is every single reporter who covers the NFL say that that's a complete abomination of a ruling.
Okay.
And I had hopes that it was going to get appealed. I know there's been reasons flying around why it wasn't going to happen. But I just... The way everybody reacted, how ridiculous everybody thought it was, I thought there was a chance that they'd change it. But I guess, I mean, they're appealing... Their own ruling, so it's... Yes, I see that it's not
well, likely. And ultimately...
Like, did you change your mind a month later? Huh?
Well, ultimately, what I saw was... You know, because they were saying it was the harshest punishment ever in regards to tampering. Well,
did they ever say, like, what it was?
Direct contact with the player instead of the agent.
Okay.
Is what it is, basically. So, like, so Andy Reid talked to Jeremy Maclin instead of talking to Jeremy Macklin's agent during, let's call it, the legal tampering period. So it
was during the tampering period.
I don't know that. I don't know about the timeline, okay, whether it was during the period or not, but yeah, I don't think that it matters. It matters that they didn't follow the rules and talk to his agent. Which is, like, such a stupid thing.
I just avoided it because I just didn't want to get angry at it.
Like, it reminds me of, like, let's draw these arbitrary lines, like, Wayne Selden has declared for the NBA draft but will not hire an agent because as soon as you do, you lose your amateur status.
Yep. I don't know if you saw or not, but I declared for the draft, but I'm not going to hire an agent, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to hire one. Well, you know what? I'm not going to back myself into that corner yet. I gotta see how the
even if you did hire an agent, I think you're one of those guys that will never lose his amateur status. At least as long as you're a part of this program, you're always going to be considered an amateur. I guess ultimately, when you factor in the loss of the third round pick, who cares about the sixth rounder next year? You lose that on top of the Houston injury. I mean, that sucks. And that's one thing that people are like, well, I don't want to count that. And it's like, but it happened. And you're talking about Justin Houston.
People got very angry at me for...
for saying that it makes it...
for explaining my logic. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely part of the offseason. it doesn't matter if the team, like, got him hurt or what. Like, this happened.
Yeah.
During the offseason, when the season was over, you didn't expect to not have Justin Houston when the season started in 2016, and now it looks like you may not have him at the beginning. Such a huge question mark aside from him.
It swayed me. Swayed me.
You're like, oh, wow. I mean, you're ready for training camp. I'm going to St. Joe.
I finally got over that Jonathan Baldwin video with that video. I was like, oh, this one's pretty conclusive.
Well,
it's gonna be ready.
Justin
Houston. I like how people are breaking it down. Like, the bye week is in a good spot for Justin Houston to come back because we're pinpointing that down to one specific week right now. When the window that he's out right now is 6 to 14 months. Like, no, it's a good spot for the bye week because then he'll be able to come back for that fifth game.
What's our bye week? Week 5 or after, six after. Or something?
I feel like we always have a bye week after week 4.
Okay,
or maybe not always, but a lot.
Right on.
Literally always.
The schedule also was released. I'm sure that everybody was really, really excited, counting down the days to figure out when we would play all the people that we already knew that we were playing. I do like
seeing it laid out like that, though.
Yeah, for sure.
For whatever reason, I see the opponents, I'm just like, yeah. I can't decipher. But when the schedule comes out, I'm able to look at it. All right. Yeah. Something how my brain works.
Well, let's
break that down.
Let's go over, like, the, I guess, the good and the bad.
Just to state this goal for this podcast is to kind of recap the offseason.
Yeah.
Give our thoughts, and we're going to hit you with another podcast coming out in a day or two, talking about the draft.
Yeah.
So we're going to break this up into two different podcasts.
The first evening of the draft, it will be in prime time on the 28th. That'll be the first round, and then the second and third round will be on Friday the 29th, and then the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th rounds Saturday starting at like 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock in the morning.
We're going to watch that Thursday night. We're going to watch it all night, wait till the Chiefs pick comes at the very end, and then we're going to trade down into the top of the second round and come down with nobody on Thursday.
Don't give it away. We gotta save that for the show.
Oh yeah.
We gotta keep them begging.
Don't worry, we'll edit that.
How about this? What's the worst thing that happened so far during the offseason for you? We had some bad things happen. The retirements you mentioned. We lost Doug Peterson. That's a huge blow.
Womanizer.
Womanizer. Well, we should have played that song. can I get a Beyonce drop? But, you know, you lose Doug Peterson, and then obviously you had some players that exited, but the...
Doug Peterson and some other guys.
Yeah, yeah. So, the floor is yours, Dirk. What's the worst
It's gotta be Chase Daniel leaving, right? I've forever lost my backup plan. I mean, it's gotta be one of two things. It's gotta be Justin Houston or Sean Smith. I think we're all kind of prepared for the Sean Smith thing, so... I mean, Justin Houston news just sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're paying this guy $100 million already.
Yeah.
And there's kind of three bad directions this can go. Either he's going to miss this next season, a year we were all excited about and had high hopes for, or he tries to push it, comes back early with a high chance of re-injuring,
mm-hmm.
or he comes back, but he's not quite as effective as he was before. Because you never know with knee injuries, and this is his second major one, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, you're locked into this guy. You're locked into this guy for the foreseeable future, paying him a lot of money. And it's a move that everybody agreed with at the time. And now, I mean, this happens all the time in the NFL. Injuries are just a thing.
I gotta admit, man, I've been having, like, some really nightmarish thoughts about, like, what if Justin Houston, like, after getting this contract, just, like, can't ever get to where he was before because of... injuries and stuff. Like, sometimes it's just a shame, and like, people are gonna, if that's what happens to where, like, you never really get to see Justin Houston be the Justin Houston we know him to be,
yeah,
because of injuries and stuff, I think you're still going to be in this place where, like, you can't even complain about the contract that they gave him. Like, he's such a, like, he's, I know that you kind of hate this a little bit, but, like, he's not just a great football player. He really is a great guy. Like, they absolutely love Justin Houston as far as him being a leader,
mm-hmm.
And having a good head on his shoulders.
He really did evolve into a leadership role last season, it seemed like.
Yeah, and I mean, it seems like a lot of people look to him for guidance. And, I mean, I just don't see Justin Houston as the kind of guy that you're ever going to worry about at all.
Also, he should be commended. I mean... we don't know exactly what happened, but it seems like he pushed himself in the playoff games and kind of re-injured it, remember? Because there was it the Patriots game or was it the Texans game where he kind of... It was the Texans game, super early in it, and he kind of, like, lands weird on the knee again, and we're all kind of freak out, and he comes back in, but he never really flashes it all. He never really pushes himself to the max, it seemed like. He's just kind of, like, around.
A decoy.
Yeah.
He just, like, came in and then...
And then in the Patriots game, he didn't really play.
At all, yeah. Man, I don't...
So, I mean, you commend him because it's a playoff game and you're always talking about guys pushing their bodies, like, for the betterment of the team. And he did, and it kind of backfired, it seems like.
So, I mean, I know that you were pretty bummed out losing Sean.
Yeah, that's the only move that's really comparable to
that. I think, though, that if you have to, like, pick the one thing that sucks the most about what's happened, it is this injury, because Justin Houston is the best player on your team. Like, he is. He's our best player, and
yep.
You're looking at another injury, and it's like, when he's not injured, he's phenomenal. He's so good. And yeah. You just don't want to worry about it. I mean, if he misses some time and he comes back fully healthy, if he misses the whole season and he comes back fully healthy, I don't care. I just want to be healthy, man. Like, I know that it seems like the window's closing and you've got some of these guys that just already aren't really the same. I don't want Justin Houston at, like, 27 to just be completely shot because we're trying to get this 2016 right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see that happen. Because the Chiefs are still, believe it or not, one of the youngest teams in the NFL, and... yeah, some of our best players are some veteran guys, but you know what? They've got some really good, really young players too. And I just... man, that sucks though. Aside from that, you know, you see the Sean Smith move. I mean, we got to talk a little bit about your boy signing with the Raiders.
My boy, the Raider.
And it's, I think, something worth mentioning. I don't want to, you know, make too much of it, but I think that everybody saw something this offseason where instead of paying guys that got cut, like Lamar Woodley or Justin Tuck or whatever, the Raiders were able to go out and sign top tier
or an actual players. NFL team now.
And the Raiders are going to be a tough out.
Yeah.
The Raiders are going to be good.
Yeah.
I think that...
they'll be a sleeper Super Bowl pick, I think.
I think there are going to be some people that are really keen on the Raiders. I think that their offensive line is going to be really good, and they're going to be real nasty. Like, it's
you look at it, man. Their drafts, I don't know if it's the last 2 or 3 years, but coming through with Khalil Mack, Amari Cooper, and Derek Carr is a serious haul.
Yeah.
And all those guys are on rookie contracts right now. Like, that's how the Seahawks did it. They had a core of guys that were really good, and they had them all on rookie contracts so they could add at other positions.
It looks really good on paper for them. They are still the Raiders.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's endless potential, just like anything that can happen with anybody, you know? But I do think when you look at the kind of weapons that they have offensively, the kind of players that they have on the trenches, both offensively and defensively, really the big issue that they had coming into the offseason looked like it was their secondary. And they got Sean Smith, and they signed Reggie Nelson, who's a Pro Bowl safety.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they still have to, like, really try to get something out of DJ Hayden.
But he's not even their number two corner, is he?
It's
some dude who was terrible, and now he's good all of a sudden.
Well, they had... what's his face? They didn't re-sign him, though. He signed somewhere else. And he was just on, like, a one-year contract, I think. I mean, it should probably be DJ Hayden starting opposite Sean Smith.
But David Amerson is the guy I'm thinking of.
Okay.
He used to be really bad, and then apparently had a really good year last year.
I mean,
with the Raiders.
And the Raiders are picking, like, in the middle of each round. They're picking at 14, I think, is their first rounder.
By the way, Nico Thorpe is on the Raiders roster. How about that? Nico. That guy was our training camp body, like, 5 years ago, wasn't he?
Here's just a quick tidbit on the Raiders before we don't talk about the Raiders ever again, hopefully. From what I understand, the position that they're really coveting in the draft right now and the single player that they really want is Zeke Elliott.
I was just thinking that.
They want a running back because they say they want to be better in the run game. And Latavius Murray was like third or fourth in rushing in the NFL last year. So that tells you where the Raiders are at, that they're like, well, we had one of the best running backs in the league last year, but what we really want to upgrade, that position.
Yeah.
Things are definitely changing in Oakland. But they still have that pumpkin pie haircutted freak running the show. So, the other guys that the Chiefs lost... are there any surprises on the list of, like, guys that signed contracts outside of Kansas City for you? You look at Jeff Allen and Tyvon Branch and Chase Daniel and Donald Stevenson all signing contracts with other teams. Did you think that they were going to keep any of those guys?
Not necessarily, but I think if they would have known about Hussein Abdullah, and I don't think they did, I think they might have tried to re-sign Tyvon Branch.
Yeah, probably made a bigger effort. Branch only signed a 2-year deal, and it was for $8 million with Arizona.
I think if they knew the Abdullah news, I think they would have been willing to pay that.
Well, and I mean, where they're at right now, if anyone is wondering why they haven't, like, tried to sign Dante Whitner or something like that as a reactionary move, I guess.
We don't have any money right now.
Yeah, they said that as it stands, and as it will stand going into the draft, they don't have enough money to sign the draft picks. And that's not really anything to worry about because they'll get Barry signed to a long-term deal to change his number.
Plus, and, I mean, you don't sign draft picks right away. You sign them
in the summer
sometime.
Well, and it's changed under the new collective bargaining agreement because everybody's, like, slotted. So
you don't need much
money. You should never have a holdout, but... They literally, like, they don't have enough money to sign guys, and they're, and they don't even have the third round pick, you know, and they still don't have enough money to sign those players. So, picking at the back end of each round and missing one of your top three round picks, the Chiefs have forked some money out. I heard an interesting take the other day that I wanted to run by you as far as these pluses and minuses on the bodies that, that came in and went out. I would say the main addition, not keeping guys, because that's really the theme of this offseason, I guess, for the Chiefs, was keeping your band together or whatever. Yeah. But they brought in Mitchell Schwartz, the brother of Jeff Schwartz. If you want to hear him talk about all things Jewish, you can listen to Danny Parkins. I'm sure that they'll...
All things Jewish.
Well, he's a member of the tribe, so they'll talk about that stuff. But you'll be able to, I'm sure, catch some interviews if you want to hear Mitchell Schwartz. Obviously, I think everybody really liked what they saw from Jeff. But his brother, Mitch, he was one start away from breaking the record for number of starts at Cal, and it was because they didn't qualify for a bowl game like his sophomore year. And then...
Wait, the record for what? For most starts?
For most starts.
Okay.
One start away because his team didn't qualify for a bowl game one of his years while he was there. And he's been in Cleveland for four seasons and has started every single game in Cleveland. And
so we should expect him to miss our next playoff game.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely going to get hurt toward the end of the season.
Maybe that was our offseason motto. Let's sign somebody who doesn't get... hurt. Let's try and have an able body for the playoffs.
Everybody seems to like this guy a lot. It sounds like he's probably, I mean, arguably the best right tackle in football. And he played, the Browns played against the AFC West this past year. And he, like, notably, they say, handled the pass rushers that he had to face, which is Von Miller and Khalil Mack. And I guess it would have been, I don't remember when we played.
Yeah, it was later in the season, so it wasn't Houston.
So, I mean, it was D Ford or something. And
probably D Ford.
Yeah, but wait. Isn't that the three sack game?
It was.
Did he have three sacks against Cleveland? I don't know if any of those came coming off that side.
Yeah,
but,
that seems weird.
Either way, they said that he had really good games against Khalil Mack. And
we were so impressed by D Ford beating him up and down.
Yeah, and Von Miller. But now they're saying that, you know, that was almost like one of his motivations, too, was like, I'm already considered a really good right tackle, and I can't wait to play against, like, these guys. Justin Houston.
Yeah, I mean.
Justin Houston every day in practice, but Khalil Mack and Von Miller, and then when you look at San Diego, it's, I don't know.
I think there's a market correction going on. Left tackle isn't any more valuable than right tackle right now.
The reason that it's happening is it's almost like defenses have adjusted and said, well, why would we go against the guy that's better?
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be because you wanted your best pass rusher coming at the blind side of the quarterback because all quarterbacks are right-handed. But now, who cares? Like, let's just go against the weaker player, basically.
Because, yeah. I mean, Mack, Vaughn, and Houston all line up against the right tackle.
Yeah.
So...
at least 75% of the time.
But there's still the belief out there that, I mean, you pay left tackles quite a bit more than right tackles. Because Mitch Schwartz didn't get that much money.
It's again...
and he's considered, like, the best right tackle in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, think of what the best left tackle in the game would get in the open market. He'd get double that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, left tackles get a lot of money.
That's good by the Chiefs to take advantage of that.
So here's...
And the other good thing is, with that, I mean, the Chiefs are locked up right now at left tackle, right tackle, and center, which is the most important positions on the offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that I keep seeing these, team needs things, talking about how the Chiefs need guards. No, I think the Chiefs have, like, seven guards. We're going to be fine.
We're lockstep
on
that
guard. One. I think that...
I don't get it. I mean, we got... seems like four capable bodies to play guard. Two of them should be able to step up.
Yeah. Well, so here's the... initially, when I started talking about this Mitchell Schwartz...
Oh, also, D Ford wasn't against Cleveland. It was against San Diego.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to think about, was it Phillip Rivers? Yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny,
just ran around for his life all day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so the reason that I brought up Mitch Schwartz, and I initially said, hey, I heard an interesting take on this. We gave Mitchell Schwartz 5 years, $33 million, with basically 21 guaranteed. And Sean Smith's contract with the Raiders was 4 years for $38 million with $20 million guaranteed. So on a year-by-year basis, it's a little bit different because it's 5 years for 33 and Sean's was 4 for 38. But the guaranteed money is almost identical. Sean is a little bit older, but basically the take was, I like Mitchell Schwartz, but not planning on paying a right tackle as much as I could play, pay for a starting corner.
Yeah, the corner is definitely more valuable.
It definitely is, but
I'm not that upset about losing Sean Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm upset they haven't replaced him.
So,
like, we're just, like, not treating corner like a valuable position. And maybe they're planning on taking a round one guy again, and that's fine. But, man, some of the deals that these corners got that considered good by multiple people... I feel like they would have slid in and seriously helped this team, and that's my biggest worry by far is cornerback depth.
I think that the Chiefs have slow played that position a little bit, and it may bite them. And some of that, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, the Hussein Abdullah thing, and I know he doesn't play corner, but I think that they were willing, not necessarily excited about, but willing to try to use Barry, Parker, Abdullah, and, Sorensen, and, then obviously the corners that they have, but mixing those guys around to try to make it work, basically. But when you lose Sean Smith, and you lose Abdullah, and you lose Branch, and the secondary was such a strength, I mean, sooner or later, that you're going to deal with some turnover. But it seems like their counter to these losses was deciding, okay, well, since Abdullah retired and since Branch signed somewhere else, and they knew that they probably weren't going to be able to bring back Sean Smith, the reactionary move that they ended up making was re-signing Jamel Fleming and then announcing that he's going to play safety. Who knows if that works for them. I mean,
people are way too optimistic because Ron Parker worked.
Well, and that's stupid. Asking to see Ron Parker at safety, and no one was asking to see Jamel Fleming play football. So there's a big difference there.
Peyton Manning was.
Yeah. Peyton Manning definitely was.
Fleming contributed to a Super Bowl.
I think really of the guys that I saw that signed contracts that I thought the Chiefs could have made an effort at, the only guy that truly frustrated me, especially when I ended up seeing his contract, was Casey Hayward. He's the guy that I think everybody was looking at entering the offseason, that because they say John Dorsey guy because he was drafted by the Packers when Dorsey was there. But he, like Mitchell Schwartz, was coming off of his rookie contract. And he ended up signing with San Diego, and it was 4 years for $12 million or something. You're looking at this, and it was
more than that, but yeah, it was.
I mean,
low.
It was essentially like the Sean Smith contract, where we sign this guy that everyone says is a good player, and it's still a prove it deal, but you control him for 3 or 4 seasons, and dude, San Diego, their selection of corners is gonna be fun,
and there's talk about them getting.
They're talking about Jalen Ramsey, too. Yeah, and I mean, they lost Eric Weddle, the quote-unquote greatest safety in the NFL, but...
3 years, $15 million
for
Casey Hayward. But I mean, what about my guy?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to blow your load. I wanted to give you the opportunity. I was disappointed about Hayward because I'm like, you're talking about instead of paying Sean Smith more than $10 million a season or around $10 million per year, you can get Casey Hayward for half that as your replacement.
Which is totally
and
fine.
And he can play on the outside or on the inside. All of your other corners are on rookie contracts. Like, you have to be able to afford something like that. Yeah. That is not a huge investment. And you're still talking about like a 26 or 27-year-old player. Like, I was baffled. It seemed like the perfect Chiefs move, especially when you saw the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the other guy was Brandon Boykin, who I was just discussing. I mean, I talked earlier about a market correction with right tackles that the Chiefs took advantage of. Mm-hmm. And maybe a market inefficiency is what I should be saying here. But slot cornerback is just a position that doesn't get the respect that it should. I've been saying it on Twitter, it's the hardest position to play in the NFL. And I kind of say that tongue-in-cheek just to get a reaction because obviously everyone thinks quarterback.
Yeah.
But, the argument is every rule change that's come in the last 10 years is helping quarterbacks and hurting cornerbacks, with defensive cornerbacks, if you can't understand that. And it's just... And then so when you slide inside, it's harder to play than it is on the boundary because on the boundary, you have the sideline as an extra defender. It helps you out. Like, Sean Smith just pushes the receiver towards the sideline and then just runs with them. Like, you can't cut that way. I'm going to take away anything inside, and then I'm just going to run with you. On the inside, man, you're on a freaking island.
Yeah.
You are all by yourself. That receiver can cut in, cut out. He can run the whole route tree.
And you've got all the traffic and stuff that you have to fight through, and the pick plays and the different rub routes and all that crap that they're doing. Like, it's really hard. And, it's a really, really hard position to play.
And yet everybody writes this off as a nickel cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Nickel. Like, this is your third cornerback. No, it's not. It doesn't have to be your third cornerback. You can have one of your starting cornerbacks slide inside. Like, that's what you'd prefer to have.
Who was the best defense in the NFL this year?
Denver.
And their corners are Aqib Talib, who everyone knows is really good. Chris Harris, who I think everyone knows is, like, arguably the best corner in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure if everybody knows, but
kind of where the Chiefs were at was, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but having Sean Smith and Marcus Peters was good enough to consider yourself sort of with the Broncos when you have those two. And then the third corner for Denver is Bradley Roby, a first-round pick who looked really good all year. You
cannot have enough corners. Yep. Think of all the depth we just went over with the Chiefs' defensive backs, like all the guys they just lost, everybody mm-hmm. that they had. It still wasn't enough when we played the Patriots.
Yeah.
It still wasn't enough depth at corner.
Well, and some of that had to do with having some issues with Philip Gaines being injured.
Yep.
I mean, then obviously your pass rush was just like completely ineffective. You just didn't get anywhere near Tom Brady.
Because receivers were open the whole time.
But, and that's the thing is that, you have to be able to cover. And I think that where the Chiefs are at right now, you mentioned Brandon Boykin. Brandon Boykin is a guy that is, I think, widely considered, like, the best statistical slot corner in the league, but he's...
Or maybe not if the best, one of the best.
It's just this weird... we can't seem to figure out why he's not getting opportunities because he got traded from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh for nothing when he was still like on his rookie contract and playing well. But he gets traded away from the Eagles and we just kind of figured that it was, well, the Eagles traded everybody. And then he goes to Pittsburgh and like doesn't play for like 10 weeks. And then ends up playing the last...
For the Steelers, who had a terrible pass defense.
They were so bad. And then he comes in and plays, and he has, like, finishes the season great. Like, immediately starts playing well because he's a good player. And this offseason, he is not getting in, like, there's not no any talk about him, at all. And then he signs a 1-year deal with the Panthers for the league minimum.
$840,000 It makes my head spin. I cannot figure it out. I even asked it on Twitter, and he had, I got a response from his brother slash agent, I guess. I don't have it right here. But his representative, whatever. And he said, when you've made... I said, I still need answers on Brandon Boykin signing for the league minimum. Please help. He responds, just searching his name, apparently. When you've made great financial decisions and have financial security, you can choose opportunity over money. Simple.
Okay, well, and I think when you sent that to me, I was like, well, I know that it's with Carolina, but a 1-year contract is not, like, a great opportunity.
Yeah, and I think he took it like I was bashing on Brandon Boykin for settling. I'm bashing on the NFL for not paying this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's a very good football player. Pay him.
I mean, let's just put it this way. That 1-year contract for $840,000... is what the Chiefs signed Jamel Fleming to play free safety this year.
Yes.
So, I mean, no offense to Jamel Fleming, but, like, it, you know, I would rather have signed Brandon Boykin for that contract than Jamel Fleming.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
A guy signs for the minimum. The Chiefs don't really have, or I guess we have Steven Nelson, who's played one snap.
And it was, that we know of. And it wasn't at nickel. It was,
it was outside the boundary corner.
Playing boundary corner.
Yeah, gosh.
Well, state of the Chiefs secondary right now, I would say that the game plan, 100%, no questions asked, Philip Gaines and Marcus Peters and Steven Nelson are all going to play a lot. And at least two of those guys you expected to be playing a lot, because whether it was Sean Smith or Casey Hayward or whoever being, you know, the second corner opposite Peters, Gaines was going to be your slot. But I think that the Chiefs are embracing the draft and develop. I think that it's a little bit surprising as far as the Nelson thing is concerned, because at least with Gaines, when Gaines started playing in his rookie season, which was 2014. The reason that he started playing is because of poor play, basically, from Marcus Cooper. Cooper started that year out so well. That was the year Cooper was great. And then...
No, I think that was the year after.
Maybe the following year. So, well, either way, Cooper gets benched mid to late in the season.
Uh-huh.
And they put Gaines in, and he plays nickel.
Yeah.
And so he ended up as your third corner, and he looked pretty good a few times. And so we got to see him. I think he maybe got, like, two starts or something. But you got to see him. And, I mean, literally, there's one play that we remember seeing Steven Nelson. And it was, like, because Peter's shoe came off or something.
Yep.
So, and I mean, hey, he, you know, deflected a pass at the end of a game. Like, it was important, and he came in and he did well. Uh-huh. And, you know, for the record, he was on Therese's, like, all-juice team before the Chiefs drafted him. Like, he was one of the guys in the draft class that Therese liked. And I mean, I've talked to at Chiefs reporter about him, and he's like, dude, they really like Nelson, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they spent a third round pick on him. It's understandable. The Chiefs are taking a lot of leaps of faith right now with their secondary and with cornerbacks in particular.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping Marcus Peters can take the leap from second corner to first corner. And if you don't think he was our second cornerback last year, go back and watch the games.
He definitely was.
We're counting on Philip Gaines to stay healthy, because we're all satisfied with his play when he's on the field, but he's a second-year guy who just got hurt, and he has an injury history in college, too.
And you're also counting on him to basically be able to be a starter, too.
Yeah.
I mean, and unless
If Gaines goes down, I mean, we're fucked. As is right now.
I mean, I think that you have to assume that they want Gaines to start and Nelson to play the slot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe it doesn't end up that way. And, I mean, who knows? It's weird, but you're talking about, you know, three corners. Your top three corners entering this season are going to have a total of less than 20 starts under their belt. And 17 of them or 18 of them come from one guy. I mean, that's a second-year player. You know, Gaines is essentially a second-year player. He missed all but three games of last year, two games of last year.
Yeah, Green Bay game got hurt.
So, I mean,
Green Bay is third game.
It's not just health. It's that we've seen such limited time from him.
Yeah.
He's got five starts or something.
And so I want to, let's kind of round up with this. Don't know how much you have left for this, but the state of the Chiefs overall right now. The strength of this team, what is it? Because last year, it was unquestionably the pass rush, and then with Peter's emergence, like our pair of corners on the outside, and maybe our secondary as a whole when you look at that. But you combine those two, it gave us a great defense, and that was like our strength. That was what we are. That was our identity. What is our strength right now? Let's say, assuming Justin Houston isn't 100% this year.
I think that our strength is going to be... Man, it may switch sides of the ball, which sounds strange, but I really like where the offensive line is right now. I like it a lot.
How about that?
And I love, like, the weapons that we have on offense. I do think that it'd be great to have, like, another impact wide receiver. I don't know what to expect from Rod Streeter. I don't know what to expect from Albert Wilson getting that. He's in that third year in Andy Reid's system, you know, but they gave Travis Kelce a truckload of money, and I think everybody fell madly in love with Jeremy Maclin and just the toughness that he showed in that game against New England.
Yeah, Maclin's fantastic.
Maclin was better than I think ever imagined he was going to be in his first year here.
Yeah.
And even Alex Smith. Like, I think that the offense, you want to see them try to take another step forward, and hopefully the offensive line allows them to do that, and maybe the fact that you have a couple other somewhat proven or somewhat reliable options instead of just Jamal at running back, and you so you feel comfortable being able to really use Jamal the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the strength of the team is probably the offense, and it's almost like the continuity on offense, because you make that addition with Mitch Schwartz, but like, even if some of the guys on the offensive line are moving around a little bit, like, these guys, they know each other and it's a group, and you didn't really lose anybody on offense.
It does seem
you made some additions on offense technically by adding Schwartz and Streeter. I mean, everything else is pretty much the same, and it's a year better, hopefully.
It does seem like this will be the most continuity we've had from one year to the next along the offensive line.
Because they're sure.
Completely redrawn that each year of
and
the
even
end, of
losing,
the era.
You know, Jeff Allen, and losing the guy that was technically our starter at left tackle in week one last year.
Yeah.
You're talking about losing Stevenson to the Broncos.
Punk.
I mean, Is there another answer? I mean, you could say
our
maybe...
Our strength?
You could
front
say the
seven.
Defensive line. Yeah, or the front seven.
Like our run defense?
I mean...
We don't have that big of a strength anymore. I mean, if Justin Houston comes back, we do.
Yeah.
I think it's still the pass rush. And the front seven in general. But I think we're... I'm not saying we're going to be bad, because I don't think we have many holes. And we should start off our draft podcast with like our list of needs. Good place to start, but we don't have many holes on the team, but we don't have a lot of areas of strength. I feel like we're just kind of average across the board, which I think is good enough to make you pretty good in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think that the Chiefs are in arguably the most difficult division in the league now. You know, San Diego is probably like the bottom feeder,
yeah,
but
they'll be bad, I think.
But I think... I mean, San Diego could still end up being a pretty decent team. I like some of the pieces that they have on defense. And when you look at them offensively, they still have Phillip Rivers. And if you have a healthy Keenan Allen and a healthy Antonio Gates and your offensive line isn't completely in shambles and Melvin Gordon isn't as bad as he was last year, like, I mean, if Melvin Gordon is anything, San Diego is a much better football team. He may not be, but, I mean, obviously, as of right now, the starting quarterback in Denver is Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think everybody expects that to be Kaepernick here at some point. Or maybe, you know, but who knows? Maybe that just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would happen before that deadline.
I think everybody really wanted to see Kaepernick with Chip Kelly, except for Kaepernick for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is just this weird thing. I think he's just pissed off at San Francisco, and it doesn't have anything to do with Chip. It's just like, screw the organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty toxic organization at this point, getting rid of Jim Harbaugh for no reason, really.
Well, I mean, it sounds like Jim Harbaugh has to leave every program after about 3 years because he rubs everybody the wrong way, is what I would read into that. But, I will say this. There are a couple things that we didn't get to. I think the biggest surprise of the offseason to me was being able to keep Jay Howard. And especially for as little money as they ended up having to give him.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about all the Chiefs contracts handed out this offseason. I think they're all pretty team friendly. Like, I don't think they went above and beyond on anyone.
I will say that the...
Maybe Tomba.
The Tomba thing is just weird. Paying him that weird...
I don't think we have the full story on that, like salary cap, that $4 million hit. I think that was going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, like the way that we restructured his contract last offseason, we were going to have to give him... We were going to have to take that $4 million hit no matter what this offseason. And I don't think that's been like properly reported. But that's kind of what I... Because it doesn't make any sense to let that deadline go and then sign him 3 days later, unless the Justin Houston news fell right in there and they were just kind of had their hands tied. I kind of think maybe, you think maybe they're going to move on from Tomba until they got the Justin Houston news and then they're kind of backed into a corner?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's a weird thing, and I just saw those Tomba comments about Dee Ford when he was basically saying, like, I'm surprised that he hasn't taken my job yet, and I think that the team is expecting you to do that, son, so you need to step up to the plate.
He said things like he's got to learn to be a professional and
yeah, it's just like there's just some weird stuff going on at that position. Tomba still being here, getting paid $7 or $8 million to, you know, supposed to be a part-time player. And
yeah.
Listen, I wanted to be really excited about the return of Josh Martin, but apparently he's not on the Chiefs anymore.
Tough break, man.
I was really excited about that, but I mean, your boy Desmond Moses isn't a Chief anymore. We did sign that Jonathan Massaqua, and then F.A. Obada.
They were signing those two dudes, non-football players.
Yeah,
they look fun.
But I mean. I think that...
one's the linebacker. Who's the other one?
Well, Massaqua is a pass rusher, and Obada is also a pass rusher. One of them was a Packer, and the other one was a Falcon.
Oh, wait.
You're talking about the discus thrower, and yes. I don't know what he does. I think they want him to maybe play defensive line.
Okay. F.A. Obada.
Well, either way, I think that if you had to look at...
Tatavitas Kieras.
There you go. If you had to look at the offseason as a whole, I would say that it didn't go as planned. It started out so well. That first day of free agency, everyone was really excited. It was like, man, just news, 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 news. And it was bringing back all the guys that you wanted to see come back. But then you add this Mitchell Schwartz signing in there that I don't think anybody really expected. And Jay Howard coming back in the middle of that too, and you're just like, you got really excited, and then it seemed like as, you know, the next couple of weeks went on, it just got disappointing.
Yeah, a few bad news. You know what it reminds me of? The end of the Vermeil era, we had an off season. We signed Ty Law, And it was just like, oh man, like this is a great final piece. Like we finally have a defensive stud to go along with our dominant offense.
And then Ty Law was the only good player on our defense?
Well, but no, but then like a week later, Willie Rofe retired.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, shit. Like, we finally might have a defense, and now we're going to start losing some of our offense.
Yeah.
And that, I think that was like, I can't remember what happened that season, 10-6 maybe, and missed the playoffs.
Yeah. But then you ended up losing Shields after
that.
We just
weren't able to get over the hump, kind of the Chiefs way. And I unfortunately, I think that's kind of where they are right now. I see them in that 9-7, 10-6 range. And really, my overarching thought is I was really hopeful 2016 was going to be the year of the Chiefs, if you will.
Like winning the West or?
Nah, like bigger things.
Yeah.
And maybe winning the West is that. I mean, but now I think 2017 or 2018 is going to be the Chiefs' year. Once Peters matures into that top corner spot for sure.
Yeah, and you know.
Once this Houston question mark goes away.
Once D Ford becomes an elite pass rusher and, you know, Spencer Ware and Sharkhandrick West combine for 2,600 rushing yards and Chris Conley's 1,000 yard receiver.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that'll be it.
That's the one.
All right. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in to the off-season recap show. Thanks to Joel Thorman and Arrowhead Pride. Thanks to KC Sports Leagues. And thanks to Doug Peterson for giving us the reason to play Britney Spears at the end of the show. Folks, this has been Amateur Hour. I'm Ryan Scott Hall. He's his Darkness. And this is Britney Spears with Womanizer. I said, can I get a Beyonce drop? But apparently it's a Britney drop.
Yeah, I didn't even know the song. This one's for you, Doug.
I did see some talk about how people thought that the nepotism was like really, really off-putting about Britt Reed being promoted to defensive line coach.
Yeah.
And from everything that I've read, the players love him.
Oh, yeah.
And they say he's a great coach, and like they're really high on him.
I trust Andy in all those facets. I'm not even gonna question. Like, I don't care about.
Might be co-offensive coordinators with sure. Matt Nagy and, sure. And Chili.
Sure.
Chili's not gonna still even be seen. He'll be in the booth, but because actually, you know what? Over under. 6 times that you see Brad Childress on TV this year. We saw him 0 times last year. They never showed him.
Not once?
I don't think so. Why would they never had any reason to show the guy that was doing special projects up in the booth? But you know, the offensive coordinator.
They showed him over. If the over-under is a half time, I'm going over.
From last year? Okay.
Let's go rewatch every game.
Well, I mean, for.
There he is! Bengals game, third quarter.
Found him!
And he's in the background.
while they're up there showing Dick Curl or who would they be showing in the booth
Dick
up there?
Curl.
Oh, look, it's Mark Donovan.